Welcome to the Gorfein, Schiller & Garden podcast series. With the COVID-19 pandemic living on and many states considering options for shutting down, it seems that we are in the second wave. Though through the period of March through June, there were many business survival lessons learned that carry over into present time. And today we're speaking with Laura Schumann, manager of small business at GSG, about these lessons learned and what small businesses can do now to help weather this storm. And Laura, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. And let's start at the top. If you don't mind, can you share some of these small business lessons learned from, I guess, what we're really calling the first wave of the pandemic, even though it really hasn't gone anywhere?
Right. So a lot of clients definitely learned that being shut down for an extended period of time is not the ideal thing to do. And they definitely profited or benefited from the government's solution of the PPP loan. I definitely had some clients that would not still be in business had it not been for those loans. So they don't know how to continue on without having that assistance, since, you know, they thrive on people being able to go out and spend money. And since people weren't able to go out and spend money, obviously that was a problem. So some of the lessons that they learned were definitely, you know, take advantage of the assistance that is available and provided, whether it's from the state or federal governments, as well as trying to learn how to handle the new situation and, you know, their employees and caring for their employees while also caring for their bottom line.
Got it. Got it. Great. Let's dive in a little bit more into the PPP loans, because that certainly seems to be a big part of this story overall. And can you share, I guess, some success stories from your clients when it comes to PPP loans?
Sure. As I mentioned, we had a lot of our clients who did take advantage of that program. And some of them were able to get the loan and be able to pay their employees even though they weren't working, so that their employees didn't have to go on unemployment. Some companies were able to then maybe keep their employees on at least part-time to help keep their business running. In the case of restaurants, for example, some of them were able to continue to provide carryout and delivery because they had the funds to be able to pay their employees to do that. Other clients, as I had mentioned previously, they really would not be in business anymore if they weren't able to get those funds. So that was really helpful for them to be able to keep their business running, so that now they can have the opportunity to continue that business and to once again prosper and thrive once things start getting back up, you know, where people can actually go out and enjoy themselves and spend money.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. We've also seen a lot of stories out there about small businesses pivoting in this environment, whether it was like a distillery that makes vodka and gin, switching over and making hand sanitizer. You see a lot of these stories that are actually kind of inspirational. It shows kind of the survival mentality of small businesses. And what have you seen out there when it comes to these pivoting stories?
Yeah, those stories have always been, you know, really interesting to me, how they were able to kind of switch up their business model a little bit to provide something that is being, you know, useful and needed at this point, more so than maybe their original product or service. Some cases where we've seen that have been restaurants who maybe previously didn't have carryout or delivery available. Now they're doing that. Same thing with outdoor seating for dining. Now that we're able to have that option available, we've seen a lot of restaurants who have been able to offer that as an option besides just inside their building. I also have a client that is a bike shop, and obviously with a lot of people staying home and not being able to really get out very much, a lot of people have turned to, you know, using bicycles and trying to get out and exercise or just get out of the house. So for them, they switched a little bit as far as they were providing more repair services than they had been previously. But they also were able to sell a lot more bicycles than they might have been otherwise. In fact, they wound up having a little bit of an issue because they sold their inventory and they were unable to get more inventory in, since a lot of the factories all over the world that produce various parts for the bicycles were closed due to the virus. And so they are still working on trying to get that inventory back. And they are, you know, slowly getting some more inventory in. So they're kind of working on a first come, first serve basis of, okay, well, we think we're getting, you know, this many bikes in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You know, you came in, you ordered one, you know, we're telling you now this is when we expect it to be in. If there's any changes, we'll let you know. So don't expect to be able to go anywhere at this point and find a bicycle just on the spur of the moment.
Wow. Yeah, there are a lot of those stories out there that are like that, like these businesses, you know, the changing environment of COVID-19 and the impact on stuff like that. And it makes sense. I certainly see it all the time. People are riding bikes a lot and looking for new ways to go outside. And you also see it with backyard furniture and grills and stuff like that. It's just kind of the new normal of the way people are living. And it's impacting these small businesses, some positive, and an inventory challenge is, it's a good challenge. Demand is there, but you can't really, you know, meet the need, which is kind of a different challenge for this bike shop, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Now let's talk about some of the tax challenges and opportunities for small businesses.
Yeah, so there's definitely some of each that are going on right now. Some of the challenges are, you know, being able to make tax payments, that's number one, because, you know, if you haven't really had any income in, trying to pay any estimated taxes or other tax liabilities that you have might be a little bit of a challenge. But with that comes a lot of opportunities. So the government has put out a number of different opportunities throughout the last few months. And of course, things are always changing. So who knows what might come up in the future, or that they might even change current programs. So some of the opportunities that are out there are mostly related to payroll. There are a couple of credits that are available, as well as a tax deferral. And I'll talk about the deferral first, just because it's a little less complicated. So employers can make an election, which there's really no election. So it's when you say you're making an election, a lot of people, you know, they're looking for a form to file. The only way you make the election is that you actually follow through with what is being done. So there's this election to defer the employer portion of the Social Security tax through the end of the year, starting right about at the end of March. And what this is looking to do is to provide a little bit more cash flow for businesses who might be hurting, so that they don't have to worry about trying to pay in on the payroll taxes right now, so that they can worry about either paying their employees or just keeping their businesses running. Now, they do still owe those taxes, so it's not a freebie, but the plan is to pay in half of that amount that's due by December of 2021 and the other half by December of 2022. So it is quite a generous repayment plan. There will be no penalties and interest for that. Now, one thing to note is that if you did receive a PPP loan, there is a little bit of confusion right now as to how you can maybe take advantage of both the deferral and the PPP loan. Because the PPP can be forgiven, there is a little bit of controversy right now as to whether you can also take advantage of the deferral if your loan has been forgiven. But please always look at what all the new regulations and laws are that are coming out. As far as the credits, there are credits related to employee retention, and there's also the extended sick and family leave credit. So for the employee retention credit, now, again, with some of these, you can't combine some of these things together. So if you got a PPP loan, you can't take the employee retention credit. But if you didn't get the loan, then you can take advantage of this credit. And just the simple version is that there is the opportunity to take a credit per employee for a certain amount of payroll. And basically, you're going to get a credit so that you are not responsible then for paying the wages It's really that the government's paying for it. So you pay it out, and then you wind up getting a credit on your payroll tax return. So in the end, you have paid your employee, and you haven't shelled out a dime in the end. And also for the family's first coronavirus credit, which is the extended sick and family leave credit, if you have any employees who have been out sick or in the future will be out sick, either with the virus themselves or if they were caring for somebody, that falls under the Extended Sick Leave Act, and you are entitled to a credit for that as well. So once again, in the long run, you're not shelling out a dime for paying that employee who can't work because they're sick or they're caring for somebody who is sick with the virus. In addition, if you have employees who are unable to work because, say, for example, childcare is not available and, you know, you've got young children who can't be home alone, so you cannot work because you have to be home to care for them, there's also the Extended Family Leave Act, which is for, I think it's about 12 weeks that you can pay for that employee, pay their salary, and again, you will get a credit for it so that you're not hurting your employees by not paying them, but at the same time, you're not hurting your bottom line because you will be getting a credit for it. And at the end of the day, you won't have shelled out a dime.
Great. Well, that's a very detailed rundown there, and really appreciate those insights, Laura. And, you know, for our last question here is, tell us about GSG services for small businesses.
So this is obviously a challenging time as far as navigating through all the different regulations and rules, whether it's from the state, the government, tax, whatever it is at this point. So we are here to be able to help our clients to navigate that, whether it's, you know, advising them on whether they can take some of these tax credits or helping them maybe determine a plan to try to pivot their business and, you know, provide something that's a little bit different, but to help them stay in business. So we can provide bookkeeping services if you're still up and running and, you know, got to keep your books in good shape, because with all of these changes, obviously there's going to be a lot of paperwork and documentation. We can also help prepare tax returns so that when it is time to report all of that income that you've hopefully made during this time, we'll be able to help you with that as well. We are a full service firm, so pretty much anything that you might need as far as bookkeeping, consulting, QuickBooks advice, we can help with all of that.
Excellent. Great. And that's a wrap on this Gorfine, Schiller & Garden podcast interview with Laura Schumann, who's a manager of small business at the firm, who's kind enough to share some insights in small business lessons learned from the March through June period and how these lessons can transition over into current time today. And Laura, thank you so much for your time today.
No problem. It was my pleasure, Matt.